Chapter 9. BPD and Extreme Thinking. In this chapter, looking at schemas and where they come from. Understanding the relationship between BPD and schemas. The behaviors, feelings, and thoughts of people with borderline personality disorder, BPD, generally show up in extreme forms. In other words, not many aspects of the disorder take the middle road. Professionals place part of the blame for the turbulent nature of the lives of people with BPD on what they call schemas, or powerful beliefs that people hold about themselves and the world around them. Basically, schemas influence the way people interpret reality and dictate the way they feel. In this chapter, we elaborate on the nature of schemas and note that people experience a variety of them throughout the course of their lives. We explain where schemas come from. We tackle the difference between healthy, middle ground schemas and unhealthy, disruptive, extreme schemas. Finally, we explore the nature of the problematic schemas that people with BPD commonly experience. Understanding how you see the world. Schemas dictate how you think and feel about the world around you, as well as how you experience it. Schemas are like pairs of glasses that you use to improve your vision. Sometimes these lenses help you see the world more clearly, but at other times, they show you a blurred, cracked, or grotesquely distorted vision. How schemas develop. Schemas start to form during childhood. Your parents and caregivers strongly influence the development of these schemas, but peers, teachers, and relatives play a large role too. In conjunction with these personal influences, life events such as illnesses and tragic accidents, and genetic predispositions also help determine the nature of the schemas you develop. The following examples illustrate how parental figures can cause certain schemas to develop in their children. Daniel's father routinely criticizes and punishes him severely. When Daniel works beside his dad on a project, his father explodes when Daniel makes the slightest mistake. He yells, "How can you be so stupid and clumsy?" Daniel grows up believing that he's inherently inadequate to deal with challenges when they arise. He develops a schema of inferiority. Accordingly, he responds to school assignments with little effort because he doesn't believe in his ability to succeed. His schema of inferiority continues to grow as he performs poorly in school. Anna's father, on the other hand, routinely praises Anna for good work and corrects her without undue harshness. When she asks for help with schoolwork, Anna's father encourages her to find her own answers, but he does patiently explain the difficult concepts. He applauds her tenacity. One day, she brings home a B- on a test, well below her usual performance, and he tells her, "You don't have to be perfect all the time. You can learn a lot from Bs. I'm just proud that you worked so hard. Now, try to see what you can learn from what you did wrong on that assignment." Because of the way her father treats her, Anna develops a schema of competence when life's challenges confront her. Thus, when she receives tough school assignments, she has all the motivation she needs to tackle them. Because she tries hard, she succeeds and feels all the more competent. As a result, her schema of competence continues to grow. Remember, when we use the terms parents and parenting, we do so for the sake of simplicity and convenience. We realize that caregivers other than the biological parents may play parenting roles in some children's lives. We don't mean to imply that parents are more important than those other care providers. Each family is different. Although schemas begin to develop in childhood, they continue to grow and adapt to life happenings through adolescence into adulthood. Types of schemas. Although numerous different schemas exist, most of them involve questioning yourself, others, and the world around you and are characterized accordingly. Self-concept schemas. Who am I? Am I capable? What am I worth? Relationship schemas. Can I trust others, or should I avoid them? How do I deserve to be treated, and how should I treat others? World schemas. Is the world safe or dangerous, predictable or unpredictable? Most self-concepts and views of the world develop out of appreciation for their opposites. For example, you know what beautiful means because you know what ugly means. The same premise holds true for other basic concepts, including hot versus cold, short versus tall, sad versus happy, and wet versus dry. This same fundamental idea applies to schemas. You can think of schemas in terms of opposite extremes, but you also have to remember that schemas, like other basic concepts, have adaptive middle positions too. After all, water can be hot, cold, or lukewarm. A person can be short, tall, or of average height. The following examples illustrate this concept in relation to schemas. A woman may hold a belief or schema of incompetence about herself. When faced with a difficulty, she likely feels overwhelmed and incapable of solving the problem. The opposite schema to incompetence is a schema of omnipotence. A woman with the omnipotent schema impulsively takes on almost any problem and may fail to seek help, even when it's necessary, because she believes she can do anything. A schema in the middle of these two is competence. A person with the competence schema carefully ponders every situation, considers how to tackle a problem, and seeks help when necessary. Why schemas are hard to change. After you develop your schemas, you don't change them easily because of four major reasons. Schemas act as filters. Schemas often prevent people from receiving information that contradicts their schemas by focusing their minds only on evidence that confirms the schemas. For example, if you have a schema of inferiority, you likely ignore or discount all evidence, such as a raise at work or a good grade on an exam, that contradicts your belief that you're inferior to the people around you. If you have the schema or belief that the world is a dangerous place, the presence of a policeman in a dark parking lot probably doesn't reassure you. Schemas encourage misinterpretation. Schemas often lead people to change the meaning of events to correspond to the beliefs involved in the schemas. For example, some people have an anxious attachment schema, an intense fear that people they love will leave them. When someone with this schema attends a party at which her partner doesn't remain close to her throughout the whole evening, her anxious attachment schema may cause her to see her partner's actions as evidence that he's looking for someone else. Schemas lead to fear. People are afraid to challenge their schemas because they fear the consequences of doing so. For example, if you have a schema of inferiority, you may not want to put much effort into any task because you're convinced that challenging your inferiority schema in this manner will result in failure. Thus, you don't want to challenge your schema by trying to perform well at anything. Similarly, if you have the schema of idealizing, in other words, you see another person as absolutely perfect, you may not ask a potential friend or lover many questions because you're afraid of finding out things you don't want to know. Schemas are invisible. People often aren't aware that schemas exist or that these schemas dictate the way they see reality. Not surprisingly, you can't easily change something you don't know exists. Remember, although schemas don't easily change overnight, they do sometimes change over the course of many years because people are continually having new experiences. They can change even more quickly when a person goes to therapy. See Chapter 19 for some strategies on how you can help reshape schemas. BPD schemas. No middle ground. Schemas that the BPD mind creates tend to be extreme and maladaptive. In addition, people with BPD frequently flip between opposite schema extremes. For example, a man with BPD typically sees himself as undeserving of the nice things that happen to him. However, when his wife fails to pick up his dry cleaning because she has to pick up the kids from school, he flips into an entitled rage over her lack of care for him. On the other hand, a man without BPD may respond to the same situation with mild annoyance, or even empathetic understanding of his wife's busy schedule. He does so because he has a middle ground schema of deserving, rather than the extreme schemas of undeserving and entitled. Many people with BPD have difficulty finding a middle ground schema. This difficulty is called splitting. In other words, people with BPD struggle to see shades of gray and, instead, see only black and white extremes. No wonder the partners of people with BPD often feel a need to be on high alert. The flipping between extremes can cause emotional whiplash in those who care about people with BPD. The following sections review some of the most common schemas that plague the BPD mind. We divide these schemas into three basic categories: self-concept schemas, relationship schemas, and world schemas. In each category, we compare the opposite extremes to the more adaptive middle ground views to give you a better understanding of the intense difference between healthy and not so healthy schemas. We also take a look at the possible origins of each schema. Self-concept schemas. All people, including us and you, develop schemas about who they are throughout their lives. These personal schemas are called self-concept schemas, and they directly influence how you feel, what you do, and what you expect in life. You develop self-concept schemas through experience and early interactions with caregivers. Two important self-concept schema dimensions that epitomize the extreme views that people with BPD often have are entitled versus undeserving and inferiority versus superiority. Entitled versus undeserving. An entitled schema describes people who feel they have a right to whatever they want, whenever they want it. They expect other people to meet all their needs at the drop of a hat, but, at the same time, they show little to no concern for the needs of others. When they don't get what they want, they feel outrage. People who have an undeserving schema, on the other hand, don't believe they're worthy of getting their needs met by others. These people don't expect any attention or consideration from others, and they don't ask for what they want when they want it. As a result, their needs go unmet. People with BPD often flip between entitled and undeserving. For example, a woman may cause a scene at a restaurant when she doesn't get immediate service. She takes the slow service personally instead of chalking it up to a busy waitress. She believes that the waitress is insulting her by not meeting her immediate needs. When the waitress profusely apologizes for being slow because she's new on the job, the woman finds herself becoming overwhelmed with shame. She suddenly feels like she's undeserving of kindness because of her uncontrolled outburst. The middle, or more adaptive self-concept schema, is balanced self-worth. People with this schema expect to get their needs met, but they don't expect to meet their needs at the expense of others or all the time. They balance their own needs with those of others. Extreme schemas of entitled or undeserving usually develop in childhood because of imbalanced parenting that fails to meet children's needs. In other words, parents who either completely spoil or neglect their children provide fertile soil for these problematic schemas to grow in. Inferiority versus superiority. People with inferiority schemas feel like they're inadequate compared to other people. They lack confidence in their abilities and talents. As a result, they often give up easily, which usually leads to more feelings of incompetence. In stark contrast, people with superiority schemas believe that they're brighter and better than others. They may pursue achievement or status regardless of the cost, and they may thoughtlessly neglect or abuse others because they're so self-absorbed and lofty that other people just don't show up on their radar screen. People often refer to folks with this schema as being narcissistic or extremely self-centered. The following story about Bernie, a CEO of a corporation, illustrates how someone with a superiority schema may crash and burn because of an unexpected financial blow, which causes him to flip to an inferiority schema. Bernie is 62 years old and runs a successful auto supply business. His bonus last year was $2.1 million. Thus, he enjoys a lavish lifestyle. His business has taken a sharp downturn recently, and the board of directors votes to replace him with a new CEO. Bernie is astonished. He has always seen himself as irreplaceable and totally responsible for his company's success. He assumes that companies will line up in droves to hire him, given his brilliance and superior business acumen. However, several months pass, and Bernie begins to see that the rest of the business community doesn't view him the same way. His superior schema disintegrates, and Bernie falls into a major depressive disorder. He acquires an inferiority schema and laments that he may never again work. His wife worries about their finances because Bernie never bothered to invest and save, always assuming bonuses and even a golden parachute would await him in the future. The more adaptive, middle ground schema called self-acceptance consists of accurate beliefs about oneself. The self-acceptance schema involves recognizing that people have different sets of skills and talents, and that no one person is more important than another. People who achieve this schema can appreciate both their strengths and their weaknesses. The extreme schema of inferiority and superiority usually develop as a result of parents who put excessive focus on achievements or failures. Such parents either criticize harshly or pile inordinate, unearned praise on their children. Both of these parenting styles can cause problems as children grow up. Self-concept schemas in action. The following story illustrates how powerful events in childhood can be in shaping self-concept schemas. Jordan started to develop an entitled schema early in childhood. After his father was sent to prison, however, that schema shattered, leaving him with an undeserving schema. The shame he felt from his father's imprisonment also led him to develop an inferiority schema. The last time Jordan saw his father was 10 years ago when he was barely 13. Since then, he has received an occasional phone call, usually around his birthday, from the penitentiary. But Jordan never picks up the phone when he sees the prison's name on his caller ID. Jordan's dad dealt drugs and seemed pretty successful, for a while. Today, Jordan recalls how his father spoiled him with the latest technology, sports equipment, and clothes when he was young. Jordan didn't think things could get any better. He felt on top of the world and boasted shamelessly to his friends about his lavish possessions. But everything changed when his dad sold drugs to an undercover agent. Jordan's mom did her best and always had food on the table. But the party was over. Jordan's family could no longer afford more than the bare necessities. Jordan tried shoplifting, but he stopped after he almost got caught one day. His friends deserted him after he no longer had the best of everything. Jordan remains deeply ashamed that his dad sits in prison and, as a result, never talks to anyone about his family. Following these events, Jordan formed an inferiority schema. Although he once felt entitled to the best of everything, Jordan now feels undeserving of anything good that happens to him. He takes a series of call center jobs but can't last at any of them for more than 2 months. Early in childhood, events encourage Jordan to develop entitled and superiority schemas. However, the overly positive, inflated nature of these schemas set Jordan up for the devastating fall into the undeserving and inferiority schemas when his father was arrested. Inflated schemas are easily punctured by negative events, and as a result, people with BPD who have these inflated schemas are at a high risk for emotional upheavals. Relationship schemas. People develop various schemas that influence how they relate to one another. These schemas either pave the way for or put up serious roadblocks to forming good friendships and relationships. Two major schema dimensions that strongly influence the nature of relationships that people with BPD have are anxious attachment versus avoidant attachment and idealizing versus demonizing. Anxious attachment versus avoidant attachment. People who have an anxious attachment schema worry greatly that other people will leave them. They fear abandonment and stay on high alert for any sign that someone close to them is thinking of leaving. They're highly sensitive to imagined rejection, and they're often intensely clingy and jealous. Unfortunately, their overly sensitive, jealousy-driven behaviors frequently cause the very abandonment they fear. On the other hand, people with an avoidant attachment schema stay away from other people. They believe that they don't need other people in their lives, often because they assume others will hurt them if they let them in. People with an avoidant attachment schema appear aloof and uninterested in other people. Many people flip between these two extremes. For example, a woman with BPD may have an anxious attachment schema, which causes her to be overly involved in her adult daughter's life. She calls her daughter several times daily, stops at her house unexpectedly, and shares intimate details of her life. She does all these things to stay connected and reassure herself that her daughter loves her. One day, her daughter informs her that she's setting a limit. No longer will she take more than 3 phone calls from her mother each week, and her mother can no longer drop by the house uninvited. Her mother responds by flipping into an avoidant schema. She rages at her daughter and accuses her of being ungrateful. She avoids calling her daughter for a month. The middle ground schema in this dimension is called a secure attachment schema, and it leads people to form friendships based on mutual caring and respect. People with this schema carefully evaluate new possible relationships without being overly distrusting or naive, and they don't sabotage their relationships with jealousy or clingy behaviors. As you may expect, parenting practices affect whether or not a child is likely to develop problematic relationship schemas. Parents who either abuse or seriously neglect their kids may set them up for attachment problems. Likewise, parents who become overly enmeshed in their kids' lives and who try to control and dictate every move can lead their kids to develop troublesome schemas. Idealizing versus demonizing. A classic feature of BPD is the tendency to see people as either all good or all bad. This tendency heightens in intimate relationships. People with BPD often see new partners as perfect individuals, having no blemishes of any kind. This tendency is called an idealizing schema. People with this schema inflate the images of their partners to such high standards that their partners can't help but disappoint them. The demonizing schema, on the other hand, causes people to view others as malicious and out to get them. They interpret other people's behaviors as hostile and malevolent. Thus, trust is very difficult for them to achieve. Often, people flip between the two extremes. For example, when the partner or friend of someone with the idealizing schema fails to live up to the impossible, idealized standards, the demonizing schema takes hold and drops the partner to demon status. When someone develops the demonizing schema, any flaw or foible in another person simply proves that person's demon status. The middle ground schema in this dimension is called a realistic view schema. When a person develops this schema, she sees other people as neither all good nor all bad. She expects others to have positive attributes, but also accepts their negative qualities. Obviously, this schema allows for relationships to endure life's ups and downs more easily than the idealizing or demonizing schemas. Parents who tell their kids that the world is out to get them and that they should never trust anyone provide fertile ground for the development of a demonizing schema. Similarly, parents who model naivete and a Pollyanna-style view of others inculcate an idealizing schema. Furthermore, people with BPD tend to see the world in extremes, which means they likely split people into demons and angels. Relationship schemas in action. The following story about Tara shows you how relationship schemas that are extremely imbalanced interfere with life and relationships. Tara's rocky relationship with her aunt is the result of flipping back and forth between an anxious attachment schema and an avoidant attachment schema. Tara also flips between idealizing and demonizing schemas, which causes additional problems in her relationship with her aunt. Tara talks to her psychotherapist about a recent argument she had with her aunt. "It all started when my aunt insulted me. I know I'm not perfect, but family is family. We should stick up for each other." Dr. Feingold asks, "What did she say that insulted you?" "She basically called me a whore. That's what she did. I hate her. I probably won't ever speak to her again." Tara responds, her face beginning to redden, "My goodness. You must be upset." Dr. Feingold consoles, "You're so close to your aunt. Help me understand. What happened?" "My aunt asked whether or not I was bringing anyone to my cousin's wedding next month. I told her that I wasn't dating anyone right now. She said that was unusual for me."
"And?"
Dr. Feingold waits for Tara to finish. "Well, what she obviously meant was that I sleep around."
"I'm not sure that I follow you, Tara. Help me understand how her saying that it was unusual for you not to have a date meant that you sleep around."
Dr. Feingold responds. Tara begins to cry. She says, "My aunt was always there for me. She was the mom I never had. When my mom got drunk, my aunt showered me with love and affection. She could do no wrong. Now all she does is talk about my cousin's wedding. My cousin is perfect. She's only had a couple of boyfriends, and you know I've had so many. My cousin does everything right, and I do everything wrong. I hate her, and I hate my aunt."
"Tara, I think I understand what's happening here. Remember when we talked about how sometimes you go from being very insecure and anxious in a relationship to being avoidant and wanting to run away? Your reactions are understandable because you couldn't trust your mother. When she was sober, she cared for you, but unfortunately, she got abusive when she was drunk. No wonder you bounce around from being insecure to angry. Your mind activates these feelings because you're worried that your aunt may not always be there for you," Dr. Feingold explains. Tara's upbringing set her up to acquire extreme relationship schemas. At times, she idealizes her aunt and sees her as someone she can count on, someone who can do no wrong. But when her aunt pays attention to Tara's cousin, Tara feels slighted and jealous. She wants to push her aunt away, which indicates a flip to an avoidant attachment schema. Tara also demonizes her aunt without good justification when she does something that Tara believes is wrong. As you can see, Tara's schemas go from one extreme to the other, and they wreak havoc on her relationships. World schemas. Not only do people form schemas about themselves and others, but they also form them about the world they live in. These schemas strongly influence the way people live and provide a sense of either security or paranoia and fear. Two schema dimensions that often influence how people with BPD feel as they traverse the roads in life are dangerous versus totally safe and unpredictable versus totally predictable. Dangerous versus totally safe. People who see the world through a dangerous schema rarely feel safe. They're hypervigilant and take inordinate precautions whenever they venture outside the relative safety of their homes. They see the world as a jungle and worry constantly about when the next lion will spring from the underbrush. Sometimes their fears grow to such proportions that they rarely leave their houses. On the other hand, people who see the world through a totally safe schema unwittingly take unnecessary risks. Oblivious to the need for being reasonably cautious, they venture forth in life and, not surprisingly, frequently suffer serious consequences for their clueless naivete. The middle ground schema in this dimension is called reasonably safe. People with a reasonably safe schema manage to rein in extreme paranoia and hold on to appropriate cautions at the same time. Both the practices a parent uses and the characteristics of a child's neighborhood and school strongly influence the development of these schemas. Abusive parents raise children who may exhibit dangerous schemas because they're used to feeling perpetual fear. On the other hand, parents who overly protect their kids are likely to have children who go into the world with an exaggerated sense of safety because they never let their kids feel fear. Unpredictable versus totally predictable. People with an unpredictable schema see the world as chaotic. They don't attempt to develop a life plan because they don't think plans ever work out. They see themselves as victims to their life happenings. They feel overwhelmed and helpless, and, as you may imagine, pessimism rules over optimism in their lives. In stark contrast, people with a totally predictable schema view themselves as the complete masters of their lives. They can't see the possibility of failure because they believe the world will bend to their wills. People with this schema decide on only one plan for their careers, investments, and relationships, and don't bother with a plan B. Unfortunately, when things don't go according to their masterful plan, they tend to fall apart. The middle ground schema in this dimension is called a predictable schema. Please note the lack of the word totally here. People with the predictable schema realize that the world and the outcomes of their efforts have some predictability, but that no one can control all possible eventualities. These people are well prepared for life's curveballs and like to have a plan A, B, and C. They figure that plan A will usually work, but they're not devastated when it doesn't. Both parenting styles and life events shape the world schemas in this dimension. Kids who grow up in families ruled by chaos tend to develop unpredictable schemas. Keep in mind that some childhoods simply have more than their share of unpredictable, uncontrollable events, such as deaths, divorces, job losses, and so on. At the other end of the spectrum, some parents plan every last detail of their children's lives. They schedule every minute of every day, and they dictate precisely what their kids do and with whom they do it. These kids who never have to face an unplanned situation typically end up with totally predictable schemas. World schemas in action. People's world schemas can pop up anytime and anywhere. The following story about Lily, who doesn't have BPD, and Caitlin, who does have BPD, shows how schemas affect everyday occurrences at work. People with BPD tend to have more extreme schemas, and therefore, react to events with greater emotionality and intensity than people who don't have the disorder. Lily and Caitlin are nurses who work the night shift in a big city hospital. Both nurses enjoy the relative quiet and slower pace that the night shift offers. They work on the fourth floor in labor and delivery. At 3 a.m. on a slow night, an announcement pierces the quiet atmosphere of the floor. Paging Dr. Firestone, 5 East. Lily, who is entering notes on a computer, pauses. Caitlin, chatting with an expectant father, stops mid-sentence. The two nurses know that in their hospital, paging Dr. Firestone, 5 East, means a fire has broken out in the east wing of the fifth floor. Such incidents are usually trivial and quickly snuffed out. Lily has reasonably safe and predictable schemas. She resumes her duties, but also keeps an ear out for any further announcements. She's not overly alarmed. In contrast, Caitlin has BPD, along with dangerous and unpredictable schemas, and immediately feels panic. Unpredictable, traumatic events have marked her life. She gasps and blurts out, "Oh my God, there's a fire in the hospital." The expectant father she's been talking to turns white and runs to his wife's room to warn her. The word rapidly spreads throughout the floor, and patients pour into the hallways. Lily quickly calls the fifth floor to confirm that nothing serious is going on. The floor secretary says that a patient lit up in the bathroom and set off a smoke alarm. Lily announces, "Calm down, everyone. There is no fire. Repeat, there is no fire. It was a false alarm." As you can see, Caitlin responded to the announcement without waiting to gather more information. Her schemas led her to assume the worst and, more importantly, put her patients at risk. She was lucky that Lily was there to calm everyone down. Otherwise, Caitlin may have lost her job.